Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael back here again with my Preservative Talk Radio on Nuga Radio. Thanks for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed the first part of the week where we had some interesting adventures. I told you some strange stories of my past and they're ongoing. All my stories of my past, obviously the same thing that happens in your life, are ongoing stories. They really are. Our past, obviously, is something that's going to continue on our present and has a great impact on everything we do. So sometimes I'm going to be telling you stories of exciting adventures in the past, divine intervention, all kinds of crazy things. And then also we're going to be telling you things that we've done as a activism to love our neighbor as ourself. Activism to help our neighbor love our neighbor as ourself. And we're going to hopefully be able to encourage you, to equip you here at what I call Preservative Talk Radio. I'm going to give you my phone number in case you want to call. Toll free, 833-4-MY-NEWS. That's how you remember it, 833-4-MY-NEWS. Obviously, that you can look at your keyboard and figure out the numbers, but they happen to be 4-6-9-6-3-9-7. That's 4-6-9-6-3-9-7. Again, I'm David Allen Carmichael. This is Preservative Talk Radio on Nuga Radio. Today, I'm going to play off of something I said yesterday. I probably said a few things that agitated people yesterday. I was talking about immigration, and I was talking about the memo from Janet Napolitano and some people that just their head spin over that name. When I mentioned that the memo was actually a sound memo, it was actually falling within the prerogative of the executive agent, then I'm sure people got upset. It turned out it was when you examine it. And I didn't know it was until I read it. And I thought, well, it's pretty good. But it's what somebody turned it into, and creating a process that gave people the ability to apply to have the government behave toward them a certain way that gives somebody a property right. That's outside the powers of Congress. And such activity is against the law. It is wicked. It is satanic. If it goes against the Constitution, it does not submit to the authorities appointed over us. And we are bound, we are duty bound to disobey those things that are contrary and outside and extra constitutional. That's our duty of religion that we have. It's a duty that we have to love our neighbor as ourselves. We have to man up, woman up, whatever you want to up, and take it on and to do it openly and lovingly, willing to take the consequences because somebody's going to come against you for your rightful and courageous stand. But you're in the Nuga listening audience. The very fact that you're listening to Nuga Radio means like I'm preaching to the choir. You guys already know this. You're already living it, or you are equipping yourself to live it by tuning in to Nuga Radio and this Preservative Talk Radio. Find out more and you can check out some of the shows I've done them in the past at preservativetalkradio.com. You ever hear these weird phobia terms? Phobia. You're a xenophobic. You are homophobic. You are, what's hydrophobic? That's afraid of water, right? And whatever the terms are. So there's phobias. What is phobia? What is phobic? It's fear of. So in the Greek, phobia means fear. Now, some people think if you're phobia, you're phobic, that it's irrational. Sometimes phobia is good. I'm a friend of phobia. I really am in certain ways. Because, like, say, for instance, gravity. Gravity really works. Lookout Mountain, if you get up on the lookout and you walk too far, you know, I wouldn't do it because I have a rational fear. Because I'm confident in nature. I'm confident in the things I observe in nature and cause and effect. I see it. I observe it. I'm a scientist. So I know if I walk too far, somebody's going to say, look out, because you're going to have gravity take over and you're going to go splat. That's kind of gross. It's kind of sick. But there's a natural right phobia that I've developed over fear. In fact, you know what I do? I see people that walk up to a cliff and they step right on the edge and they look over. You know what they don't have? They have an irrational lack of phobia. There's a procedure that you, if you have a rational fear of gravity and the effects, an irrational fear of the fact that there are times when you stumble. You don't plan on stumbling. You don't go out of your way to stumble. And just about every time you stumble, it's a total accident. It's something you do that you don't expect. So right-minded people ought to have a rational phobia of being too close to the cliff edge. So my son used to have that. He's an adventurer. He was trying to be an adventurer, and he's got a degree in adventure. It's named something else. But he went into college. He did all these crazy survival adventures. And he used to stand on the edge of cliffs. He's like, well, I don't need to fear because I can stand. And as long as I don't fall, I'm not falling. Later, when he got married and all of a sudden his rational understanding of and this natural thing for protection and his wife began to walk to that same cliff edge. Well, he wasn't standing on the edge there, but at the edge that he used to stand, he called her and stop. He had a rational fear because if she stumbles, there's going to be a natural consequence of gravity that's going to pull her over the edge and it's going to really shorten their marriage. You know, they're getting along. They're enjoying each other's company. They love each other so much. And he didn't want to tolerate that. So the consequence, the natural consequence of not taking the proper precaution would, you see what I'm saying? So what he did, he told me what the precaution is. He said, you should never get closer to the edge than your height. Because you can fall and then you're still on the flat ground. And you might even have a little room to bounce a little and still not get flipped over the edge of the cliff. That is a rational phobia. Phobia is good. Phobia is your friend, if you're sane. So what is xenophobia? Xeno, I looked it up. I should have figured it out. Enos is in Greek, means nations. It's a term, if you read the Bible and you kind of look in the Greek and you see what word was used when they're talking about the nations and strangers or whoever, they use the word enos, which is it indicates nations. And so with the X in the beginning, I'm presuming means other nation. So xenophobia would be other nation fear. In some, I've looked it up, they said it's fear or hatred of strangers or foreigners of anything that is strange or foreign. Now, xenophobia, good or bad? Question. Maginot Line. Raise your hands. Anybody know what the Maginot Line was? It's still there. You can go tour it. It's not effective. It wasn't necessary. Well, okay. Let's just leave that alone. But the Maginot Line was germophobic. How's that? Germophobic. So let's see if you can decipher that. The Maginot Line was germophobic. They're just a bunch of germophobes. And I don't mean like germs that dirty your hands. I'm saying German, a saxophobe instead of a saxophone, right? You fear the Saxons. You fear the Lutherans. You're a Lutherphobe. The Maginot Line was there, was built out of a phobia. Was it a rational phobia? Was it a rational xenophobia? It was a fear of strangers or foreigners. A fear of a nation that is other than yours is xenophobia. The Maginot Line came about. It's this huge fortress wall, kind of a, it's this monstrous fort that goes for a couple of hundred miles, and it is between, it's on the border of France, looking over into Germany. And it was there at the start of World War II. And the Germans went around it because it was a fort that was built because of their saxophobia, their Germanophobia. They had this phobia, the French did. They suspected that the Germans wanted to invade their country and totally change their worldview and totally change the position and status of their citizens. They had xenophobia, didn't they? How about this? In North Korea, did you know that I won't tell you what happened. I think some of you remember this. You may have seen it in the news or read about it. They had in South Korea, we call today South Korea, they had they were Choson-phobic in just prior to June of 1950. Choson was actually the name that the North Koreans called themselves when they made that country, when the Soviets kind of made their puppet state. And the United States made their puppet state right after World War, I guess it was 1948, right after World War II, they kind of set up these governments that were had their own little worldview. They had their the prevailing worldview of a certain people, chose to have a certain type of government, and chose to embrace a worldview. And South Korea was somewhat Chosun-phobic. They were phobic of North Korea. They were North Korea phobes right up to June 25th, 1950, when their fears were they could tell that they were rational, because on June 25th, 1950, the North Koreans invaded South Korea with the goal of subduing those people to change their worldview, to change their system of government, to change their thinking, to change to change their associates and to change their friends. That's what happened. So North Korea or South Korea was a Chosun-phobe. They were xenophobic. Does anybody see where I'm going here? The number here is 833-4MY-NEWS. Now, this sounds like I'm not a friend of foreigners just because I'm xenophobic. And I mean that in a rational way. I think just like I'm gravity-phobic, right? And I know that, and I'm not so gravity-phobic that I can't get into an airplane, because I'm also, what do you call it? What's the word? Aeronautics. Yeah, the law of aeronautics. I'm a aeronautic phobe because I'm not a phobe, but I'm a friend, okay, of aeronautics, because aeronautics, I can see with my eyes when I connect the dots that there's a cause and effect, that I get in a vehicle or some kind of piece of equipment that has an airfoil on it, and I go a certain speed at a certain angle, there's going to be a certain amount of lift, and it's going to counter the gravity, which I have a rational gravity phobe for. Okay, so I'm connecting dots rationally, and you can accuse me of being a xenophobe all day, and I'll say, hey, that's the first law of thermodynamics, being a xenophobe. Why? And some of you, if you've studied that stuff, did you know that being a xenophobe is a part of the first law of thermodynamics? I'm going to let that one sit there for your mind. You might want to look that up, that being a xenophobe is part of, in the law of nature, the first law of thermodynamics. Losing your xenophobia touches on the second law, or let me say the second law of thermodynamics, the law of nature, is going to impact your xenophobia. It's going to decrease your xenophobia, like it might decrease your gravity-phobia. This is heavy stuff, okay? I'm going to loosen your mind here, a little comic relief. I'm David Allen Carmichael. This is my Preservative Talk radio show, broadcasting in the highly sound-minded area of Nougaland. That's what it is. It's the land of Nouga Radio, and you are part of the community. You are part of the society and the worldview. And even if I find that we have many people that are opposed to what I say, but it confounds them, and they tune in. They can't help it. It's moth to a flame. They tune into Nouga Radio, and it affects the way they think. It's going to affect their life, and they'll only be able to maybe figure it out looking back on it. So I spent a lot of time here. I have an outline, and I've got two lines here. It says xenophobia and Maginot line, germophobic, and North Korea invading South, Chosun-phobic. It's a tiny part of my outline, and I've just really milked it because I've had a good time with it, because it's starting to make sense to me. So here I was talking about the other day, I said that it needed an act of faith to take care of the stranger according to the biblical command. So on this one hand, I'm talking about I ought to be, if I want to have a survive, if I want to conserve my survival, that I ought to be xenophobic in the rational sense. That I need to, and then, but at the same time, yesterday I said that we have to have the courage. Remember, I'll remind us, Revelation 21:8, the first guys that go to hell are the cowards. Okay, check it out. That's on the list. First one on the list is cowards. So I say we have to be brave and apply God's principles of taking care and loving the stranger like the stranger is our brother. I said that yesterday. So now all of a sudden I'm like, I'm proud to be xenophobic. Okay, so I it sounds like I'm contradicting myself. I'm not. I'm actually making us have to consider that these issues of immigration are things that we have to be very careful about, not get into a passionate frenzy, a partisan frenzy, and make the other guy look bad while we're looking good, or else we're both stupid. That's what it is. What we need to do is know the truth. And Jesus said, if we abide in his words, we will know the truth and the truth will make us free. There's a prerequisite there. And so it's amazing when we abide in his word, we start to understand these things. Okay. I'll talk more about that later, but here we go. I said yesterday that we needed to be able to have the courage to act by faith, to take care of the stranger according to the biblical man. Now here's the question. Does the stranger include the invader? Does the stranger include the invader? When it says in the biblical command, the revealed law, the highest law tells us that it's a mandate. You shall take care of that stranger. You shall leave your fields for them to glean. In other words, the migrant farm worker, come on, baby, pick it on up. Eat what you find. Okay, some of those migrant farm workers actually pick up stuff, and I guess they eat the gleanings. Who knows? I haven't been out there. I've been typing too much and taking on government activism and all that kind of stuff. So, but does the stranger include the invader? Is there a difference? Well, what's my reference? I could go back in U.S. history and we could get some anecdotes there, but I'm also getting my anecdotes. I connect dots by reading the Bible. And recently I've been reading and teaching on the Philistine or the Palestinian. Okay. It turns out that Palestine is actually a word going back to the Romans, meaning the land of the Philistine. And if you look in the Hebrew and you look up the word when you say Philistine, it's actually a Hebrew word. You know what it says? Pelishtim. And sometimes it would be pronounced Philistim or Palishtim, depending on the neighborhood you grew up in. Okay. But so that's it. So we've still got the Philistines there. Now, I think the Palestinians aren't really the Philistines. I think that people group is a little bit different, but it's still called, and now it's called the land of the Philistines, even though way back when it was supposed to be Israel. And the Philistines were actually confined to five cities. Some of them exist to this day. And they were on the western side of the land, right up against the sea. Now, during that time, the Israelites came in the land. They started occupying and creating settlements. This was back, 1,300 years ago. They started having settlements. And at one time, the Philistines came in and they would invade. They would come and just for the sake of invasion, they would leave their towns, leave their farms and come over into where all the Israelites are and they would displace them. So are they strangers in the land or are they invaders? Is there a difference? So I think, as I'm observing through history, there's a difference between strangers and invaders. And we need to be, for the sake of the first law of thermodynamics, we need to be xenophobic, right? Just as we're gravity-phobic, we ought to be. If we are in a sound mind and we'd like to conserve ourselves, we have to be, for the sake of survival, in the very laws of nature that requires xenophobia. So, but the Bible says we're going to not allow that fear to overtake us, but we're going to have faith and be obedient unto God to take care of the stranger. So be fearful of the invader, just as the Maginot Line was a manifestation of xenophobia, that they believed they had fear that a certain people group to their east was going to invade them, and they wanted to make it more difficult for them, to make them second think any invasion. That was xenophobia. That's what that was. So I think for our very nature, we need to be xenophobic. But at the same time, for the sake of the stranger, now the difference between an invader and a stranger, as far as the Bible is concerned, is the stranger that wants to come and embrace the blessings that you are creating on the land. And so I'm going to talk about the effect of a people invading a land and what our obligation. Does anybody have an obligation to invade America? It's possible. Well, you're going to come back after the break and we're going to talk about that. What happens when a people group that is doing right actually invades a land? It actually affects the land. I'm going to have a little anecdote about that. But we're supposed to be taking care of the stranger. The stranger is the person who comes up to the door, not invades through the fluid borders and brings criminals that are evading other countries and coming to do illicit things. That is not the stranger. That is the invader. The stranger is the one who comes to the gate and says, I would like to embrace your worldview. I want to submit to the law of the land. I want to submit to the king. And I want to be a part of your people. I want to enter in the blessings of your nation that is being blessed by Almighty God because your faithful and good conduct. So that's my theme today is we're going to come back to this xenophobia. What is it and why we need it? And I think, again, the first law of thermodynamics, if you hadn't heard, is the law of conservation. Second law is the law of entropy. Things are going from order to chaos. So we're going to come back to this Preservative Talk Radio on Nuga Radio. Stick with me, guys, and tell your friends, love your neighbor as yourself. Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael back again with this Preservative Talk Radio on Nuga Radio. Thank you, Nuga listener, for partnering with me. It's almost like you ever go out to the park and you have a picnic on the grass and you just listen to the wind, you listen to the birds and they're singing and you listen, you see all the kids run around and they're playing and there's just something that's healthy about it, about listening. You listen to your friends talk, you got the cornhole going on and everything like that. And you're just sitting and basking in good, wholesome, entertaining conversation. My hope is this is kind of deep, but nonetheless, I'd like it to be like we've got just our feet up at the park, chilling out, enjoy each other's company. And that's why I also provide a toll-free number. So I pay for your call, by the way. You can give me a call toll-free, 833-4MY-NEWS. That's 833-469-6397. Talking to David Allen Carmichael. I want you guys to get to know, I talked to, you may not know this, some of you are going to know this guy when I mention the name, Herb Titus. I talked to Herb Titus on, what is it, Wednesday, Tuesday. I was with Herb Titus on Tuesday. We were talking about some stuff, and he's agreed to come speak to us. I've asked him to talk about Lawrence versus Texas, a very interesting case, and his perspective on things. And as I listened to the master of the law and the Bible and just reality, it was wonderful sitting and basking in his company. He's going to be with us in a couple of weeks. We'll set up an appointment to have him talk to us on according to his convenience, and I'm looking forward to that in a few weeks. I'll make sure I give you a heads up before it happens because you're definitely going to want to tell your friends to tune in. As I went away, I was mentioning the fact that it makes good sense under the first law of thermodynamics, the law of conservation, that I ought to be xenophobic. So anos in the Greek is the nations, or they use that word when they talk about nations. So with the X in front, I guess it would be the other nations, and phobia is fear, that I ought to have a healthy fear for other nations because of my just survival, all right? It's the natural thing is xenophobia. It's not irrational. It is rational. If you don't have xenophobia, a healthy xenophobia, just like if you don't have a healthy fear of gravity and what it can do, that you're going to set yourself up for catastrophe. That's it. So I said, yeah, we'll leave it at that. I want to know, what is the biblical command? Are Mexicans, and that they're on our border, Canadians, are Canadians or Mexicans, are they supposed to invade, so to speak, America, the United States, the land of the United States? That's a question. And by what authority? Turns out that this coming across the border thing is legal. It's a legal issue. It might be illegal to come across the border without coming through the gate. But going, there are no borders from creation. I mean, there are no little border lines. That's a civil innovation. So the first command, when we talk about the Ten Commandments, there were two prior commandments. One was be fruitful and multiply, right? How are you guys doing on that? I could probably do better. I've got four children and I'm starting to get some grandchildren to start show up. But the first command is be fruitful and multiply. You want to stimulate your economy? Be fruitful and multiply. And I'm going to tell you here shortly, if actually you be fruitful and multiply, it's actually going to help the not just the economy. It's going to help nature and the environment. Wait a minute. Mankind is destroying the earth. No, mankind utilizing and stewarding the earth is making it better. It's even changing the weather. It's making it warmer and greener. It's amazing. It's wonderful. So obeying that first law, be fruitful and multiply, has a benefit. Guess what? You don't have to rely on if you have plenty of bare fruit. You don't have to rely on Social Security. You'll have family security. Okay, so that was the first law, right? Is be fruitful, multiply. What's the second one? Haha, several of you know this. Take dominion. Subdue the land. To take dominion over the land. Those are the first two laws. Be fruitful and multiply and take dominion over the land. So guess what? If you're going to obey those first two laws, you're going to prosper and you're going to be invading the land. So Americans, the United Statesans, if we will fulfill the first two laws, be fruitful and multiply and subdue the land and take possession of it, then we're going to reap the blessings of obedience. It's going to happen. So let's just say, what about those guys from Mexico? And I talk that specifically because Canadians aren't necessarily flooding the place. But some from Mexico, but even Central America, some South Americans are coming up through that landmass and effectively invading the United States. They're coming to a place that is better than where they are. Some of them are evading the law, and they need to be apprehended as quickly as possible. But some of them are just desperate for survival. In fact, some of them are evading gangs. If you've never been in an environment where you're surrounded by criminals, where you can't go down the road, you can't go on the bus from one place to the other without being robbed or shot. You can't empathize with some people who in desperation are invading America. That's something to think about, something to keep in your mind. Okay, doesn't justify certain behaviors that I think some of these behaviors could be modified for good reason. But there's a bigger picture than what we're hearing in the news. There's a much bigger situation. And I have friends have a mission in Brazil. And the guy, Phil, my friend Phil Smith, he said that he wishes he had an airplane to get his kids out of the city up to what they call the mountain. And they, in fact, I think some of you guys know of this Hope Mountain. Some of you here in the listening area are participants in the leadership of this mission organization. So how's that? So I forgot about that stuff. So I keep thinking of my friends in Brazil, but they wish they had an airplane because they could take their kids from the city and get them out of the gang environment and get them up to a boarding school environment up on a mountain. But on the way, the one bus got lit on fire. They got robbed, pulled everybody out the bus, and lit the whole bus on fire. So we don't see that here in America, and we don't realize how desperate people can be. So they're going to try to, let's say, migrate to a place that's safe. And you may only see men coming to check out the land where they could maybe be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth. So it turns out that there's a higher law, there's a higher mandate to subdue the land. And what I say is if America would do its job, if the people of our nation, now we know we're doing it in Nuga Radio Land, but if we as a people would do the right thing and do the righteous thing, what's going to happen is as a cause and effect, we're going to be dominating and securing and subduing a land for good. We're going to be fruitful and multiplying. We're going to be reproducing, that we will become stronger and the stranger will not overtake us, that we will be strong enough and right enough to influence the stranger to conform to our worldview, our life situation, and bring more prosperity to everybody. But what starts it is us, you and me, as me doing the right thing. Now, many of you have, as I said, you know, this is a talk radio show where I get into the Bible. And the reason why I've done the demographic study in Nuga Radio Land through the three states that we're broadcasting over, the vast majority of people go to church. They've read the Bible. And how much we're applying it, you know, it's the more we apply it, the more we benefit. I was just thinking of the Passat. This hit me today, the Passat. Y'all know a Passat, right? Volkswagen. Why would a company come to this area to produce automobiles? there are some other places they could go where it's a now you could argue with me. That's why I have a toll free number 833-4MY-NEWS. And I don't want I'm not supposed to be giving a particular car company advertisement because I wish they'd stimulate my economy to do that. But they're not. But I just want to use that as an example. That's a blessing. That is a fruit. That is a consequence of rightness. Why would anybody want to come here for a business? You know why? Because you have a moral, ethical people that have a work ethic that beats other people, that has an environment, a righteous environment that is a good place to live. Your electricity is cheap. Okay. Why is your electricity cheap? I believe it's a blessing on this people. This enclave of sanity, this enclave of right living, where the predominant view, the predominant worldview is indeed in line with that which Jesus taught, that you've got a perspective to make disciples. You know, he says, teaching them all things I have commanded you. And if we would do that and live it, guess what? It's going to be a blessing not only to our society, but even to the very land that we live on. And many of you know that there's a reference for that. And so this is something that the nation is not talking about. They need to talk about it more on talk radio. They need to be more preservative and Nuga radio minded. But listen what there's a in the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 28. It talks about all these blessings. If you'll behave yourself, if you'll serve me, if you'll love me and love your neighbor as yourself, there's all these blessings that are going to come your way. But if you don't, watch what some of the consequences are. The alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. Now, notice this is not a mandate to go be mean to the stranger. The mandate is to do the right thing, love the stranger, and you're going to influence them to your way of thinking and your lifestyle. Everybody's going to benefit. That's making disciples. You know, you're supposed to make disciples of the stranger. The alien, if you don't do it, if you're doing the wrong thing, there's a cause and effect. Remember the law of conservation, then the second law of thermodynamics, the law of entropy, that things are going from order to chaos. And the less we conserve, the more chaos we're going to get. Look what it says here. Here's the cause and effect. The alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. That's a symptom of something we see in our nation today. It's not necessarily in Nuga Radio land, the enclave of sanity. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head and you shall be the tail. We're seeing this manifested across Europe. You're seeing this happen globally. He shall lend to you, shall not lend to him. He shall be the head and you shall be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you. They're going to chase you down until you are destroyed. This is scary. But because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you, and they're going to be a sign and a wonder for your descendants forever. Let me scan down here more. They shall eat the increase of your livestock and the produce of your land till you're destroyed. You know, people are worried about people coming across and taking all the welfare benefits. Oh, my goodness. That's another. We talked about. I'll have to come back to that. I'll leave that alone. The very fact that we've got that argument in our head is a sign that we're not living right, and we need to kind of correct our behavior. But this is the summary here. But it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of your Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. A nation whom you have not known shall eat the fruit of your land and the produce of your labor. You shall be only oppressed and crushed continually. You will be defeated before your enemies. So it just goes on and on. If you'd like to look it up, it's Deuteronomy chapter 28. So now I look at things, I try to be objective. I try to look at our thing and say, you know, any issue of the day, rather to say, what do the Republicans say? What do the Democrats say? It's fallen men is not where we want to, let's say, throw our hook onto. I don't know if you've ever seen these kids in the Amazon River, and they paddle out this little canoe, and then they throw a hook and a line onto these boats as they come by, ferry boats and things. And here's these kids going along at about 15 knots, tied up with this little skinny rowboat, and then they climb onto ferry, and they sell things. They sell things that they grow or sell things that they put together and stuff, and that's how these kids on the river survive. But you know what? That is a good thing. But what we don't want to do in our worldview is throw our hook on somebody else's ferry. All right? You don't want to do it. The goal is to step back. You aren't desperate. You're not desperate to cling on something because you don't know how else to survive. You've got a sound mind. So what we have to do, and this is what I do, is I try to take these issues, even the xenophobia thing. Oh, I'm not going to be a xenophobic. Yeah, I mean, you've got a world of screaming media that's trying to make people feel bad for xenophobia. And I say it's good. You know why I say it's good? Because I stopped and tried to objectively look at it and to look at what it is. What does the word mean and what's the application? Okay, xenophobe. I'm a gravity-a-phobe. So in other words, I have hopefully a healthy fear of heights. Now, I will tell you, I do have a fear of height that is not healthy, and I don't know what happened. Something happened in my past that triggered something in my brain. It must have been a bad experience. I can't remember what it might have been. But I used to go up and do things, and I didn't mind being at high places, and it didn't bother me at all. Now, I go to a ropes course. It's 30 feet up. You got these cables. You got two safety lines on. So you're not going to, you could hang there all day. You're not going to fall. But inside in my brain, something popped. It's like it blew a fuse and I start panting. I start having like a panic attack. But my rational mind tells me, okay, buddy, you're good. You've got the lanyard on. You're not going to fall. So just go ahead and do what you know you're supposed to do. Now, I do it because of my rational mind, but even though I'm freaked out, it's like a step of faith. Faith is not just doing what you believe might happen or might work out. Faith is acting in such a way because you know what the truth is. You know what the outcome's going to be. So I can, by faith, trust these lanyards, and I can walk out on the silly little cable and do like the team building thing at 30 feet above the air. But you know what I don't do because this weird trigger, this blown fuse in my brain, I don't volunteer to go up to the group that's doing the 60-foot thing. It probably wouldn't be any different, but I don't volunteer to that just because, you know, there's only so many calories I want to burn huffing and puffing while I work through this issue. Now, I do go up and I do, and it's amazing. I can climb rocks. I can rappel. I can do all this kind of stuff. It's really weird, but when I turn my view out, it just triggers and blows a fuse in my brain. But my rational mind, I walk through it by faith. I climb the 60-foot pole so I can get to the zip line. The zip line's a thing you want to do. It's a lot of fun. So I deliberately climb the 60-foot pole, notwithstanding my busted fuse in my brain. So I know by faith I can behave a certain way. But I'm also conscious of the fact that I'm not going to stand on a 60-foot pole without a tether. That would be ridiculous. I have a survival phobia of heights and gravity. I have a fear of height times gravity equals acceleration. And acceleration times mass equals force. I know that the amount of force when my body impacts the ground, the amount of force is going to completely explode my organs and I will be with Jesus. So I have obviously a faith desire to be there quicker, but the law of conservation that God has ordained in nature rationally tells my brain, don't go there. This machinery is supposed to last until the Lord deliberately calls you home. So this is an analogy of xenophobia. We as a people are supposed to be xenophobic. And in the best sort of way, in the most rational thing, to create the Maginot line, to do whatever it is, to actually love your neighbor as yourself. There's a point where Jesus said, notwithstanding your xenophobia, says, bless those who curse you. So we know we have to deliberately do things in faith that take courage and trust in God to bless and love our neighbors and bless our enemies and do those kind of things. But at the same time, there's this rational survival of the fittest thing that we know that we have to be aware that there are invaders there, that there are people who would like to come in and attack you. Now, I will say that I've experienced times, and I'll probably tell you a time where I turned the other cheek deliberately and literally. But there's also times when I, for the sake of loving my neighbor as myself, have to do things that would protect my neighbor. And I've done that. I've seen people being beat up, and I've rushed over and put myself in between them and their attackers, even though the guy getting beat up was bigger than me. And the guys, all three of the guys who were beating the other guy up across the street from my house, they were all bigger than him. But it didn't matter. I had a desire. I had an obligation to love my neighbor as myself. And that's all of my neighbors. So these thugs don't suddenly become, you know, a little mafia of their own and start putting our terrorizing our neighborhood. So I put myself at risk because I have a proper phobia of this invader, a proper fear in the right sense, a reverence and understanding of the danger, the potential danger. I don't have a phobia of dynamite, but I have a right fear of its potential. When I was handling weapons that I can neither confirm nor deny while I was in a certain service, I had a reverence, a fear, a rational fear of what I ought, because of the fear I had for the potential of danger, I had certain conduct that I engaged in because of that rational fear. So this is kind of quasi-philosophical here today on Preservative Talk Radio. I didn't give you a crazy personal faith story, but we might have something back for you when I come back on Monday, because as soon as I'm off the radio, I'm rushing off to prepare for a young adult retreat up off in a state park. So we're going to meet with a bunch of young adults, and we're going to talk to them about hearing from God. Faith comes by hearing, and we know that that goes on to say in the Bible, hearing from the Word of God. So we're going to study about God speaking. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to invite the Creator of heaven and earth to do some speaking. How's that? David Allen Carmichael, Preservative Talk Radio on Nuga Radio. Love being with you, and we look forward to seeing you again on Monday